So again, I'm Reverend Crystal Muldrow. Welcome to Unity Church in Albany. And this is the beginning of Advent. And so Advent, interestingly enough, traditionally is thought of in several ways. It's thought of, obviously, as the start of Christmas. And I know right after Thanksgiving, most of us already started our Christmas shopping and all the crowds and all the hoopla. It's also the getting ready, the fasting, and getting ready for the second coming of Jesus coming, of which hopefully most of you, if not all of you, were here last week to hear Reverend Rogers talk about Revelations and the second coming of Jesus, and how, the way he put it when I asked him what he was going to talk about, he said how we're all in hell in a handbasket. And I was like, well now. And yet, how true does it seem? How true does that seem right now when we look in the world as it is? That all of us are living, or at least having a part and playing in this darkness that we call Earth. And in Christmas time, we continue to look forward to this man, to the Spirit to come back to us in the second coming, when the truth of it is, as Unity teaches, the second coming is not of Jesus coming back, but of the Christ being risen within you. That is a combination of you recognizing and then acting upon the fact that you, my beloved, and I are the Christ. We are it. And so Advent then becomes this preparation for us to move forward in our knowing. And so it is interesting that how many people know what the root of adventure is?
Venere, to come, Latin, ad ford.
The root in English, though. Thank you, Beth. No, and she's correct. She is correct. Just not where I was going. How about Advent?
Same thing. Venere.
To come. To access. To come into use or of use is the root. And so Advent is this beautiful adventure. An adventure, being quoted, is an exciting and very unusual experience. So we are inviting this unusual experience to come about, this adventure to come about during Advent. And it's a time where we can find fear in this adventure, or we can lift it up and be like the running child. Either running for glee, bye, or running to embrace, bye. For all of you in the back, he waved bye. I actually liked his speaking. He always spoke right at the right time. So we either run to the Christ within us, or we can continue to run away from the Christ that is innate within us. So this conversation is about Advent, not in the preparation of, thank you, my dearest, of me not tripping, of any of us not tripping, but of us embracing and using the tools that are provided. And the first tool is the foundation. Now, if I had my druthers, I would follow along with Unity, which the first one is faith. Traditionally, in all other religions, it's hope. But one of the reasons why I like faith is something that Charles Fillmore says and quotes. Hope is the expectation of good in the future. It is a quality of sense mind because it is subject to time. Faith is the certain knowledge that our good is our right now. It is of God. It goes beyond time and space. And so the name of this talk is Living Truth. And when I talk about living truth, I am talking about living in this present moment, right here, right now, faith-filled. And not in the sense of how we think of faith sporadically. I am talking about being confident in all ways, no matter what the situation is, in a faith-filled way that God's got your good. Now, Unity believes in these 12 powers. And the first power, it's the function of mind and soul, is Peter, who represents faith. Now, the situation is I believe that we have the faith of Peter all the time, as waxing and waning. So, to remind you how Peter became faith-filled, it's based on the fact that when Jesus, now this is me being the crystal abridged and her verbiage of the Bible, Jesus asked Peter, "Who do you think I am?" And Peter said, "You are the Savior. You are the one. You are the man." And because of that, Jesus said, "It is upon you, upon your faith, that I will build. You are the cornerstone." Faith then becomes the cornerstone, a building block of which a sound foundation can be built upon. And just like Peter, our faith wanes, because if you go catapult all the way to Easter, during the time of Jesus' execution, anytime people saw Peter and said, "Hey, aren't you with Jesus?" he turns back and goes, "I don't know what you're talking about. It's not me. No, I'm not a part of that rogue group. Not me." And just like Peter, too often our faith ebbs and flows. It ebbs, it's great when we need it, but when we are called to task on making sure that no matter what our trials and tribulations are, if we can hold the faith, a lot of times we falter. This Advent season, and all Advent seasons, I invite you to embrace the faith of the one who didn't wax or wane once she found out that she was impregnated with the truth. We should be the example of Mother Mary. Again, I give you the Bible story. It's interesting that the birth of Jesus is not in all the Gospels. And actually, the writers didn't deem it that important. Some of them didn't, at least the John. It was more metaphysical, more mystical. But I will kind of ad lib from the book of Luke. And in the book of Luke, we are told that Mary is visited by this angel. And at first, Mary is startled by this angel who says, "Hey, I have good news for you. I have a gift for you." Now, can you imagine Mary? Here's this woman. She's been living a great life. And all of a sudden, someone or something or a voice, we don't know how she saw this angel. This voice comes to her and speaks to her. How many of us have experienced a word of God that we didn't believe, or we didn't understand it, or we didn't trust it? This is how Mary was. She was fearful. She was uncertain. And with that, she said, basically, "Who are you? I'm scared." And this angel said, "No, don't be scared, for I'm the servant of God. And the good news I have for you is that you are going to be impregnated." And her response was, "Wait a minute, I'm virgin. That is not going to happen." And if you go back into the culture of that time, I mean, we're living in a different time right now, but in that culture, to become impregnated at that time could have meant death. It could have definitely meant her being outcast from society. And she was already betrothed, gifted to Joseph. And that certainly meant that if she became pregnant, that Joseph would not want her. And yet, here is the type of faith that she had. The servant gave her the news, and the servant said, "I am the servant of God, your Lord." Her reply to that is, "May your word to me be fulfilled." May your word that I am going to be impregnated, that God is going to plant a seed within me and germinate into something wonderful, may that be fulfilled in me. How many of us could really, truly, under those circumstances, have enough faith in the truth and the knowing that that is our truth. How many of us would stand and say, may your words become true within me? Not many. And yet, Mary had the unmistakable faith, knowing that no matter what was happening, that God's will of good was in her. I love Emily Cady's statement, again about hope and faith. Hope expects an answer sometime in the future. Faith takes it as having already been given. Hope looks forward. Faith declares that she has received even before there is the slightest visible evidence. Mary, even before there was the slightest evidence of this, proclaimed it to be true, welcomed it in her heart and her mind, and said, may your words come to pass. This is the unshakable faith that we all need to have as a cornerstone. The faith and the truth that God's loving presence continues to be within us, no matter what the adversity is, no matter what the darkness is, no matter what the problem is, no matter what the joy, no matter what the glee. God's will of good is always there if we grab hold of it. If we open our hearts, if we open our minds and use Mary as the example of opening, having an open soul to create. So Mary, metaphysically, unity metaphysics represents the soul. And so what is the soul, according to Charles Fillmore? The soul is everything that you have experienced, combined with every thought and every feeling that you have had experienced within your life. And in some unity thoughts, it's within your past lives as well. All culminate to make who you are in this manifest world now. In other words, what you think, what you say, what you've experienced create the visible world for you now. And so Mary represents this soul, this person, this being who delighted and who wanted to please God. And my beloved, this is all we have to do to create joy, to create happiness, is to move the walls and the barriers that we have set up for God's will of good to move in and through us, and to have a faith that no matter what is happening, God's want and will of good is always present in our lives. This is one of the basic tools, the cornerstone that we need to have to evolve, to move forward, and to recognize the greatness and the truth of who we are. And who is the truth of who we are? The truth is that it isn't according to unity teachings, that it isn't just Jesus that is the beloved Son, but that we are all the beloved sons and daughters of God. And that we all, if we allow ourselves to open up and to be impregnated by this presence, by this good, that life then we can evolve from a material man to a spiritual man. Now, this is a quote based on a quote from Charles Fillmore. Hope is the expectancy, yes. The time is ripe for the advent of a new race, the advent of a spiritualized man. This will be brought about not by a miracle or the fist of God, but by the gradual refinement of the man of the flesh into the man of spirit. The group sang, "Get Ready, My Soul." I ask you during this time of Advent to agree to move beyond the hellaciousness of the world, allow your soul to get ready through the Advent, and start with the hope that moves beyond hope to faith. A faith that no matter what we're seeing, no matter what politics are going on, no matter what the news says, no matter what's happening in your life, that God's will of good is there for you at all times. And that you're willing to embrace it, that you're willing to move beyond and have a beautiful experience in life to live faith fully, no matter what you see as lack, no matter what you see as health issues, no matter what you see as a lack of limitation in the bank account, no matter what you see, but to embrace the goodness of everything, to multiply that so that God's will of divine ideas have a wonderful soil within your soul to plant its seed and to allow that seed to germinate. And in that germination of that seed, for us to recognize and to know that God's will is not just outside of us, but constantly, and not just for the season, that God's will of good is impregnated within us all, male and female. That the truth of our soul is that we invite this truth so that divine ideas can move forward. Divine ideas metaphysically represents the Christ. They're one and the same. So that we can make this soul, allow that this soul that collectively as a race consciousness that we are creating this hellacious aspect, so as collectively our souls now create the truth of who we are. That we can live in bliss, live in a world where we are not only seeing the Christ, but we are experiencing and acting out of the Christ. And so I invite you, as you go through not only this Advent season, but in every single day of every part of your life, to grab a hold of the divine ideas, nurture them with your faith, and allow them to blossom. And so with that, let us say our weekly affirmation together. Together, the Christ within me is my unfailing source of faith and strength. Let us breathe that in. Let's breathe that out. And one more time, let's say that together. The Christ within me is my unfailing source of faith and strength. And so it is. Amen.